David, good morning.
Good morning, Howard. Good morning, Zanatti.
Morning.
Philippa also sang beautiful song. Amazing that, hey? It's because most of you generally love the more upbeat music that I play. But you put on something like this and everybody goes, that's what we needed. We just didn't realize it.
Ah, we're in Africa.
Yeah, exactly. There's something absolutely magnificent about some of our local music. David Abramson, that's not the topic of conversation this morning. What we are going to be talking about is that's actually a song that I played a little bit earlier. And, most people, I think, kind of, did you hear the song, David?
Yeah, I did. I had a good laugh. I thought it was very funny.
Yes.
But definitely has a serious side to it.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Let me just, something is going on with my sound, as it sometimes does. Yeah. So this is just the just play the chorus. So basically his father's dying and he's giving him his final last words. And this is his dying wish. Here we go. Ready?
Follow my advice.
This is the advice.
Never Google your symptoms. That is my only prescription. You get up.
And it's very catchy, isn't it?
Yes, of course. I wouldn't say Bible, maybe the reference book.
Right.
The thick reference book of all the psychological and psychiatric.
Yes, I think I've got probably a lot of these things in there.
Well, yeah. We changed it. Well, right. not me personally, but
right. It has been changed
to illness anxiety disorder.
What? Illness anxiety disorder. I'd rather be a hypochondriac.
Okay.
Sure. Although maybe I'm suffering from illness anxiety disorder.
Yeah. No, so it's changed and they split it into two,
but
illness anxiety disorder, which is very much, you know, along the same lines as hypochondria, where you have bodily sensations, or you like normal signs or normal feelings, in your body. It might be a bit of a tummy cramp. It might be a bruise.
Right, right.
It's just really, they interpret it as being something very, very serious. And, it can.
Is this the same thing as if I read the potential side effects of a medication and I suffer from every single one of them? Is that the similar kind of a story?
Well, it's interesting because they've divided it into two now, hypochondria.
Uh-huh.
It's now, so as we said, it's the illness anxiety disorder. And then they've, on the other hand, there's the somatic symptom disorder. So what they've done is they've split it into two. And the illness anxiety disorder actually focuses on the excessive anxiety rather than the actual physical symptoms, while the somatic symptom disorder, I hope this is making sense, actually involves focusing on the debilitating nature of the symptoms. So the one looks at the anxiety.
Oh, so one is about the anxiety that, oh my word, I've got lupus.
Right. The anxiety around it. The other one is,
how am I going to live my life? How am I going to do this? What's going to happen to me or my family? And on the other side of it is
focusing on the physical side.
Yeah.
I'm
in such pain.
Yeah, not actually worrying that much about that they're going to die from it, or that they're worrying about the actual symptom. I'm feeling so dizzy. I'm feeling so there is a.
I think that's one I got.
Are you sure?
No. I think I've got them both. Because I'm a proper hypochondriac. I'm not going to only opt for one.
I heard the other day that, and I suppose, you know, Jewish people can tell jokes about Jewish people. But I heard that when a Jewish person feels sick, he goes to the doctor for a second opinion. And that's really often what we do. You know,
absolutely.
You know, and I think people, you know, who do tend to be more anxious tend to go onto the internet and tend to Google, and even though this song is very tongue-in-cheek, it is so true that, you know, there really are pros and cons to having so much information, and there are websites and reputable websites.
And the bottom line is that we are not trained.
No, and the body is a very complicated, you know, system. And if you go onto there are many, many, as I say, websites where you can go on and you can type in your symptoms, and boy, if that doesn't freak you out, you know, bruising can be, you know, leukemia.
Leukemia, I've had that, yeah.
I've had that before.
Right. The worst thing is when a doctor confirms a hypochondriac's fears. So it happened with my friend where she was going on about how she thinks she has appendicitis, blah, 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 blah. And then at some point she was like, oh, it's probably gas. Because the right side of her tummy
was
sore.
Yeah, but she does feel like that. Yeah.
And then a month later she went to the doctor and she found out that she has anemia, because she's got fibroids. So that's where the pain was coming from. I was so disappointed because I'm like, oh my gosh, because I was the one that was telling her no.
Pull yourself together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, but no, I think, so in fact, that actually nearly, that happened to me. I was at varsity and I wasn't feeling well the one morning and I was actually joking with my friends to say, you know, because I'm a hypochondriac, it's probably appendicitis. And I was laughing about it. And then later that afternoon, my father called me to ask me if I would take my late grandmother, to the doctor. And I thought, and I went and I thought once I was there, let him just have a look at me, and it turned out, you know, about four hours later, I was in hospital having my appendix out. So then I thought, yeah, well, you know what? Maybe I don't know.
No, I think we need to bring a level of order to this conversation because I think
we're getting hysterical here. I do think so. Lindy's laughing at us in the booth. Yep. She's thinking, oh my word, they need David to intervene right now. Okay, we need an intervention.
Let's put it in perspective. Okay, that absolutely there is nothing wrong, absolutely, with going to a doctor if you're not feeling well and having it checked out. There's nothing wrong with going.
But every day.
That's the point. That's the point. The point is when you go to a doctor and the doctor says to you, listen, we've run the tests, we've done what we needed to do, and you're healthy, and these are just normal bodily symptoms, functions, which are not serious. But what happens from there, that's when it becomes a problem. You know, a person who walks away and goes, okay, I've got that reassurance. I've checked it out with the right person, with the right medical practitioner. But the person who has more of a problem is when the anxiety starts to say, no, they're missing something. There must be something. There's no way that there can't be anything wrong.
Oh, I see. So you don't even accept that.
No, and people often then move from doctor to doctor, looking for a problem. Yes. And trying to find.
So how do you know? As a if somebody lives with somebody who is, well, we're going to call them a hypochondriac, but you've got a whole very fancy way to call them and divide them into two different types.
Well, let's say illness anxiety.
Anxiety. If you live with somebody who's got illness anxiety, it's a massive responsibility to tell that person, to reassure that person that actually nothing's wrong, because if God forbid something is wrong, then it won't end well.
You know, reassurance actually isn't helpful because it almost becomes like a drug. You know, so it becomes like a vicious cycle.
Okay.
So am I okay? What does this mean? No, yes. Don't worry. You know, you're fine. And then it almost becomes that the person who is anxious becomes dependent on the reassurance to settle them. It's almost like a drug.
Right.
So, so in the end, it really isn't helpful to keep reassuring the person.
Does this make me look fat? Right. No,
I think that's another.
Yes, it does.
That's for another week.
Okay, fine.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But really, what is helpful is we found that a specific type of therapy, and we've spoken about it before, cognitive behavioral therapy, is very helpful. Where really you go to a therapist, a social worker, and they help you to understand your thoughts, obviously the cognition, and how it affects your behavior and how it escalates your anxiety and how to think about these thoughts in a different way, and how to deal with them in a different way.
Time is 8:20. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 High FM. I would love to hear your experience. Do you suffer from, what is it called?
Are we going to call it by its real name?
What's its real name?
Illness anxiety disorder.
Do you suffer from illness anxiety disorder? IAD.
IAD, yes.
Okay, which is not AIDS, hey? So don't panic, because it's not the same thing.
Yeah,
if your doctor says you have IAD, you do, right, yeah, maybe we shouldn't go with that. But all right, especially for the people that are at risk for being hypochondriacs, which we don't use anymore.
This program's supposed to be helping people, Howard.
So far it hasn't helped me, but I'm just saying we'll get there. All right, I would love to hear from you. Do you suffer from hypochondria? Do you live with somebody who does? And how do you deal with it? I want to hear your experience on 34519 or 061-895-1019. Time is 8:23. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. Just going back to the Ndlovu Youth Choir. And Sian says, Howard, I agree with you. They should sing. It's time for Africa. And Ronnie says the Malaika song was used to audition for one of the first SA Idols. If you think Miriam Makeba version is good, you should hear the lady who auditioned with it. There was something very pure about it. Maybe that's the one, Zanati, that I found.
Ah.
I don't know. I actually am going to look for it, and we'll see if I can find that. Other messages.
Howard, what do you think about them singing a Johnny Clegg song?
Well, they did one spontaneously. I think they did.
Oh.
Yes, I saw that when he passed away. The choir should sing "I Miss the Rain Down in Africa." Yeah, yeah. That's not a bad one.
Wow, that would be absolutely
incredible. All right, hi. As a mother of a very anxious child, how does one deal with illness anxiety with a child? Medication and therapy have already been given. Mosa, how does a parent respond to their aches when they come to you with aches and pain?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question, and I think for me,
is reassurance good or is tough love better? Wait, let me just read some of the other SMS. What happens, Jonathan? What happens if a person has dyslexia and IAD? All right. Is IAD not a psychosomatic symptom of a deeper underlying problem? That is from Janine. And then Unsigned saying it was Angelique Kidjo. Thank you.
Yes,
is that the one that I played?
That's the one.
I'm going to try and find it whilst we're busy chatting. Sorry, David, no, I've got given you lots of questions. No, you don't need to answer the Jonathan's question about dyslexia and IAD. That's not the one. Let's start off with Unsigned about her child who's very anxious. Medication's been given. Therapy's happening. Now there's all these aches and pains. What does one do with it?
Well, I think again, you know, it's so important that we understand what therapy the person's been to and make sure that it's the correct therapy. You know, there are different ways of administering therapy, whether it's psychodynamic therapy, play therapy, or, you know, we're talking about probably the best way to go about things is cognitive behavioral therapy when it comes to these symptoms, where you really empower your child. Or the therapist helps to empower your child. But very importantly, that if your child goes to therapy, and this is something which I cannot stress enough, that the therapy is not confidential. This is a young person, and the parents need to know what the child is talking about in therapy. And even more so, to take it one step further, the therapist really should be sitting down with the parents to empower them, giving them ideas on how to deal with them when they are coming to them and saying, I'm feeling sick, I'm feeling, because it obviously is, it could be so many things. It could be, so we have to investigate. Could it be anxiety around school? Is there a social problem? Is there, so we look from a practical point of view, and then we look from a more personal point of view, you know, individual point of view. Is there excessive levels of anxiety? And then the other thing is medication is often prescribed. The SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors are often prescribed for people who, you know, experience, these anxiety disorders. But I think to answer the question, it's really about finding that fine line. Reassurance, as I said, becomes like almost like a habit, or if it's become addictive, you know, you're going to be okay. And it might make them feel better for a little period of time, but it's only a matter of time. And everyone is different until they need the reassurance again. So it really in the end isn't helpful. So I think really it is about, you know, when you say tough love, about supporting the child and making sure that the child has understands very clearly the link between their body and their mind. And we often talk about that anxiety can really make you feel ill, because I think for me
that's what I was going to raise with you, because one of our kids when they're feeling anxious or emotional about something, will come and say, oh, I feel so terrible. I feel so sick. And we will try and say, look, I'm not sure that you do, what's really going on? Is there a problem here? Is there a problem there? Can we talk about it? And then they'll say, well, I can't believe you don't believe me.
Right.
I really am feeling this. And actually ultimately can make themselves sick.
There's no question. There's no question that anxiety.
So there's this link between, and ultimately they do get sick.
Right. There's no question. It never ceases to amaze me how powerful anxiety can be, and how you actually can feel physical symptoms, nausea, headache, even get rashes. But I think that's the important thing, is to talk about how, what certain symptoms mean. So you can talk about pain related to anxiety and worry, and pain that you need to go to the doctor for. So they both feel pain. They're both real. It's not about joking around. They're not lying. But it's where is the source of the pain, and to deal with it appropriately. So to talk about that worry, you're feeling sick from worry, or are you feeling sick,
because
there's nothing really that's worrying you, but you really do need to go to the doctor. And,
right.
And it's such an important question to ask children and to create this, distinction. So I think that's because then we empowered. Then we can really focus.
Well, I can see that with this particular child who's now quite a bit older, is able to say, yes, I'm feeling stressed. I actually feel like I'm making myself sick. And that's important. Unsigned, this one speaks so much to me. My mom was sure she was going to die. I'm laughing. At the age of 49, I was petrified my entire upbringing because my mom was going to die. And she always had aches and pains, and thank God she's still around. That's why I'm laughing at this. But my poor son today can't come with his ouch this and ouch that.
Yeah.
I just tell him it's growing pains. I can't handle achy people, and I have to say that I do feel a sense of irritation at people who are achy and quetchy, and because it's stop it. I even feel like that about tired people. Like, stop being tired. Like, just pull yourself together. There's so little to be tired about. Colin S. says, a hypochondriac tombstone says, I told you it would end like this. Time is 8:30. I'm chatting to David Abramson. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519. So David, before we chat to Luba Mayakisa, he's actually been holding on so patiently. What's the message here? Because we understand that there are two parts to this, this issue. And I think that's important and very, very useful for me, is one type of person who suffers in this way suffers from the anxiety around being ill. And the other one focuses on the actual symptoms. So not the worry about it. I mean, and I would imagine you can do both, or they intersect at some point in any event. What is our best way of coping with, ourselves, with a partner, with a child, with a friend, a parent, who is dealing with this type of thing?
Well, I think it's important to say that anxiety is normal. We all experience a degree of anxiety, and I think, but we need to think about it on a continuum. I always like to think of it ironically in numbers. So if you're experiencing 5 out of 10, which is half off, you're coping with your anxiety. It's not debilitating you, and sometimes six anxiety, 7 anxiety can actually, for periods of time, be very productive. But if your anxiety is causing you, it's actually causing you difficulty in your daily functioning. It's affecting you so negatively that you can't do the things that you normally do. Then absolutely, I think it's so important that you look for professional advice, and get guidance from a professional. And I think, the first part of empowering oneself is to recognize, when your body's stressed, and how it affects your mind, and the other way around, how your mind affects your body. And I think that's really important when you go talk to a professional to gain that insight into how you as an individual deal with stress and how you interpret the signs in your body. And then stress management, I know it's spoken about so often, but we live at such a hectic pace, and we get so much information bombarded at us, around testing and making sure that we are healthy, and preventative care, and obviously we do hear about people who are sick, which also is a trigger you know, for people who are more anxious. And I think for me, it's so important to have those very practical, know, relaxation, whether it's going for walks, yoga, exercise. And then the thing is perseverance, is that people, when you're feeling better, make it a lifestyle. Stick to your treatment plan. Stick to that treatment plan as a lifestyle, meaning don't just give it up once you're feeling better. Really, if possible, it's about consistency in maintaining it, so that you know, you feel like you're managing the anxiety over a lengthy period of time.
David Abramson, time is 8:37. Thank you for your very sound advice. I'm Harold Feldman. This is Your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 High FM. We'd love to hear from you.